Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today we have a special treat as we have two guys in the studio who are known as the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. And they are here in Texarkana for a program tonight. And people are very excited to have Eddie and Tommy here. So, guys, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
again, thanks for having us.
Yeah, again, second time. So I had you guys right before the movie came out.
Yes.
Family Camp. And tell us how Family Camp did.
Family Camp did extraordinarily well. It came out in theaters middle of May, right between Doctor Strange and Maverick, and I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, for, you know, and Hollywood doesn't call them faith-based films. They call them independent films. So they kept saying, hey, for an independent film, we're doing really, really good. They extended it. They extended theaters the second week. So we did all right. Enough to make a second movie. So
all right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And we just toot our own horn. We just picked up an award for most inspirational independent film.
We did. Because Hollywood doesn't call them faith-based. They call them independent.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next film has nothing to do with Family Camp, or is it like a part two?
No. Nothing to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it written?
It is, yes. It's it'll be a road trip buddy comedy over the prodigal son. So we play brothers, and dad wants the good son to go get his brother because he wants to come home, and the good son doesn't want to do it. So we will stay with Luke 15 as far as, you know, those two characters and what that looks like with them coming home and unpacking baggage, so to speak.
All right. So who plays the good son?
I do.
Okay, you're the good son.
Yeah.
You're the wayward son.
Yeah.
Which would cause me to go, I don't think there's a good son in the story.
Yeah, he's a bitter boy.
I think there's a dutiful son.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's a good son.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar to the prodigal son, right? And the brother.
Yes.
The elder brother is really the rotten one in the story.
100%.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
So
yes,
the prodigal is the good guy.
Yeah.
Like
so does that share the wayward son coming back to the father and getting his life right, and then it does the dutiful son that is angry and bitter, and
you'll see all of that. Yeah, you'll see it played out. Yeah,
all right.
So hopefully we'll do it right along the way. We'll hopefully be making you laugh and you know, making you think, and then point it to that beautiful.
Okay, you haven't started shooting it yet.
Nope.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just punch ups on script.
And you two guys wrote it, or did you get help?
He wrote it.
I wrote it with our lead writer, Renee, who was also on Family Camp. And so now it's being punched up right now by the same person that directed Family Camp. So there's called a director's pass, basically. So
yeah.
So yeah. So.
Well, good. Where are you going to film this one?
We don't know. Whichever state has the best rebate.
Okay. Where did you film Family Camp?
Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
15 minutes from my house.
How nice.
It was fantastic, yeah.
It was is beautiful countryside.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned to you guys before, so in the movie, Texarkana gets a shout out. Because you had the video that the guy was from Texarkana or something like that.
Bigfoot hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So is that a lot of fun to do movies?
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like we're two high school best buddies that thought they were going to go make their fame on Saturday Night Live, you know.
Right.
He invited me to church. I gave my life to Jesus. And so we started doing skits for God, you know, which is the most amazing thing ever. And that's what we've been doing. And then along comes, you know, a chance to make a movie. And it really was. It was beautiful. We were so humbled by it.
Yeah. Here, this answers it, right? We filmed it in, June of 2020, and ever since then we have this thing that we look at each other and just go, we got to go back to the island.
Like, it's how do we get back to the island? How do we go back to filming? Like, yeah, it was the funnest.
It really was. And we hit, you know, we hit families. We got to see families going to the movie theater again, and that was really great. And not for a cartoon or a superhero movie,
right?
And they, I mean, it was so beautiful just being inside theaters and kind of being a fly on the wall and just hearing all ages laughing.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful. So to be able to do that and do it again, that's Luke 12:48, too much is given, much is expected. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys, since most of your comedy is in front of a live audience, although you do a lot of videos, it's not.
Yeah.
Is it hard on the transition? I read where Rodney Dangerfield, when he did Caddyshack, he had a real hard time with nobody's laughing.
Hmm.
It's like, well, we can't laugh. This is on video.
Hmm.
And I know from preaching, it's a lot harder to preach to a camera than it is to preach to a crowd.
Yep.
Do you find that true?
Yeah, I would say we do have the benefit, like you were saying, of, 15, almost 20 years of making short films for churches. So we kind of got used to that. Nobody gets to laugh. I will say in making the movie, there's so many more people there,
mm-hmm.
and you're just pouring out your everything, and nobody's laughing. And you're like, well, I hope
it's funny. I hope it's funny. Funny. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But yes, there's nothing like a live audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're doing things over and over and over again where you're not doing that
right
live, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And then you got to keep the energy up. You got to make sure you're whatever you thought was going to make it funny, hopefully it'll still be funny on the 17th take and that kind of thing. Yeah.
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 How do you do it if you have something gets blown up or something? I mean, that's kind of a one shot deal, right?
Well, we had a big explosion in the first movie and we did that twice.
Was it twice?
Yeah. But it wasn't because of any mishaps. We did it and they were like, that was fantastic. Let's do it again. And it was pretty cool because, we were driving away from a giant explosion on an ATV. And
it was cool.
Fun.
That was neat.
Okay, giant explosion. This is taking a little detour, but you guys were in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Are people talking about what's going on in Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where we were, there was no mention of it. It was...
Yeah, we were like 3 hours away.
Yeah, we Googled it. We were like 3 hours and 25 minutes away from it. So
we had to Google it to see if we wanted to get out of the car.
So. Yeah, no kidding. I feel terrible for those people.
It's a tragic thing. It's horrible.
They're just trapped. Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. my whole life's here. How do I just pick up and leave?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So when you guys go into churches, mm-hmm. do you have... I was picking up on this, Eddie, it's almost like a musician that can do a whole bunch of songs. Mm-hmm. You have we have this vignette and this vignette.
Yep.
We can plug these in as we see fit. And you guys just have those down?
That's it. That really is it. And I'm probably, for better or for worse, I'm probably listening to the crowd more than he is, going, okay, this is working, this is working. But if something doesn't work, I'm the first to look at him and just... yank the line back in and go somewhere else. And he's pretty good about going, okay, we're going this way then, So if I'm ever rushing something and kind of putting a bow on it and moving on, I'm really feeling like this it's stuff isn't hitting and we need to move somewhere. We need to go to another part of the lake here and see what we can
do. And one crowd, it can work well, and another crowd, it doesn't go.
Oh yeah. We were in Chicago 2 days ago and just, what a great show.
Yeah.
Super great. And then we were in Ohio last night and it was like, well, that was okay.
Yeah.
But it was a different crowd.
Yeah.
Also, there is comedy compression. Depending on the room that you're in and the lights, all of that comes into play on whether people are comfortable enough to laugh and everything.
Right.
And so the room we were in last night was cavernous. Yeah. It wasn't that great of a setting.
Felt like a gymnasium.
Yeah. Everybody was kind of spread out, And so... Yeah, it's totally different. And he's so great at recognizing that and going, oh, let's try to do this. Yeah, I think if they're not laughing, something's wrong with them. So,
so no doubt, as many times as you've been up in front of an audience, you no doubt have had some times where it's just like, okay, either we're off or they're off, mm-hmm. or this isn't going well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're feeling like you're swimming in quicksand. How do you deal with that?
We end up doing a lot more skits because everything goes really fast.
There's no laughter. It's like,
It just depends. Our biggest bomb was in Texas in a rodeo arena.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
At the time, we didn't know anything about comedy compression, but we're in the middle of a rodeo arena.
Dirt and all around us.
Then there's a whole bunch of dirt, and then there's people up on bleachers just walking the whole time.
Metal bleachers. Clang, 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 clang. Just horrible. And you're supposed to be doing comedy, and they're way down there, and you're in the middle of dirt, and it smells like horses and everything else.
Eddie handled that one really well. we opened up with our Sure opener that always wins, and it flopped.
It flopped.
And so yeah. Eddie, being he was really, he said, hey, my buddy Tommy's going to do a monologue now. And he stepped away.
I did.
It's not over. I do the monologue. He steps back up. He's got another monologue. Here's Tommy with another monologue. We wrote a chapter in our book about it.
Yeah.
We have a book called Smells Like Bacon on Friendship. And there's a chapter in there called Never Leave a Buddy at the Rodeo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
It was when we first started out. My back was sweating. I was so nervous. And it was like, well, showboy here, he likes to perform, you know. All right, I'll wind him up here. And, you know, I just kept throwing monologue after monologue.
So how did you respond to that?
I mean, in all honesty, he was playing to our strengths. Because, again, I'm going, something's wrong with them. I'm going to still do this.
You did like two monologues.
Yeah, you just roll and do it, you know. But, I mean, they both bombed. The whole show bombed. I mean, the mayor, where was it? It was in...
this is a long time ago?
It was in Mesquite, Texas.
And 20 mayor, years ago?
Maybe? Yeah, the mayor of Mesquite is introducing us. And we said, hey, just don't say we're the funniest guys in the world because we're not the funniest guys in the world. He steps and goes, y'all are gonna love these next two boys. They're the funniest guys in the world. Welcome, Skip Boys. You know,
you're like, oh. And then there's this long walk in the dirt, just walking through the dirt to that little circle right in the middle of this arena, and you're like, oh golly. But you know,
I was looking for that clown barrel. I just wanted to hop in and hide.
And how long did you have to perform?
An hour.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an hour?
Yeah. I bet we went 30 minutes.
It was oh, gosh.
It was probably supposed to be an hour.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. Yeah.
I would say nowadays, we haven't experienced, we may experience it tonight, but we haven't.
I don't think so.
We haven't experienced
I'll laugh.
That.
I'll stand in the front and
thank
laugh.
Thank you. We need that. We haven't had too many experiences like that. But Eddie really is good at reading the crowd and going, okay, this is an older crowd. We're going to do this, a younger crowd, an unchurched crowd. And yeah, he's a good programmer.
I think somewhere along the way too, when we first started out, like we had our stuff and we keep creating stuff. We were, you know, doing all that, but we kept hitting these different crowds. And then there was this one crowd, it was a senior citizen Valentine banquet. Mm-hmm. And this was before, like, we had a sheet that said the who, what, when, where, how, why. Okay, let's show up. Oh. And so my brain would be like, oh dear. Everybody's at tables. Tables are the worst comedy because everybody's eating and
you're spread out.
You're spread out and, you know, clanking of silverware. So I think after that gig, because I just remember back there going, oh, we could mince this and we could do this and we could do, you know, just trying to make sure we know our audience and making them laugh. But somewhere down the road, it really was, we just got to do our thing.
Yeah.
Just do our thing and let's see what happens. And I think that was really freeing. Let's just do our thing. And we still come back to that. Let's just do our thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys are comfortable in your own skin, whereas like the Rodeo Times 20 years ago, you're still fairly fresh and new. And
you're right.
And so, hey, am I any good at this?
Yeah.
You know, I know as a preacher, when you're preaching and it's like, I don't think anybody's with me here.
Oh.
And sometimes they're with you and they're just not very responsive.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And so it's hard to gauge.
Yes.
It's like you get done and it's like not very many people thought that was good. And they say, that was the greatest thing I ever heard. Right. It's like, oh, you could have fooled me.
Well, and the danger in preaching is if you're not careful, you'll lean into that deal of like, hey, you guys here this morning?
Right.
Oh. This is the word of the Lord. What's wrong with you guys? Oh. You know, and then you lose everybody.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that like when you're preaching? Does your brain, does your eyes just go to that one person doing this?
Yeah, so I...
And they could be doing, they could be thinking about anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I try and always look at the tops of people's heads.
Okay.
Because if I look at their faces, then I think, I hadn't seen that person in a while.
You start...
Then I lose my train of thought.
You're starting to have inner monologues in yourself going, oh, I wonder how they're doing. Yeah, oh, goodness, look there. Yeah, totally.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're talking to the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Hey, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. It is good to laugh. Song says, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Hey, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face and put a smile on your face. We're going to be right back after this.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We heard on American Family Radio about the opportunity to participate in a charitable gift annuity. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, Riley, Chelsea, and their crew that they work with, and they were very caring, very easy to work with, and with no pressure whatsoever. They guided us through the process and made it a very easy thing to do.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking to the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. And our theme has been Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. It is amazing when we let ourselves quit thinking about our problems and just laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, if you can't laugh at your situation, you're kind of a miserable person. Mm-hmm. And no doubt you guys have learned to do that early in life.
Hope so.
We've sure tried. Think yes. So. Yeah.
If we're not laughing at ourselves, we're laughing at the other guy.
Well, okay. So that question, because sometimes comedians are not very happy people. Hmm. You know, we've all heard the stories about Belushi and Chris Farley, incredibly talented guys, funny guys, but horrible lives and miserable people.
Yeah.
Robin Williams the same way. Mm-hmm. So is there something inside a comedian that is the dark side, or how do you guys see that?
That's a great question. You go first.
I think I can speak for myself. Like Tommy and I, we come from different home lives, right? Mine wasn't that great. Mine was pretty unhealthy. So especially when we first started out, everything that I would write was pretty dark. And then my chipper Ronald Reagan, you know, upside, you know, happy guy. And my sarcasm, I'd be like, all right, Ronald. You know, because he was always like, well, the cup was always half full. And I was like, all right, Ronald. So, but he would get a hold of, you know, I would say, well, we could do this and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and he'd be like, that is really dark. And he would bring the lighter side to it. Like, I remember creating this, wrote this it was a radio skit. He's really good at voices. And so, hey, I'll be a DJ and I'm dealing with people calling in, and all of them were just dark and sad and, you know, heavy, unpacking their baggage. And, you know, Tommy's like, well, let's lighten it up, but let's do this character, this character, this character. And if you ever hear the skit now, it's called Hurting Helpline. So the initial idea is still there, you know, right. And at the very end, we hear someone that's mm-hmm. hurting, but along the way, it's just funny. They're all just funny characters. And so I think that's the good yin and yang of what we do.
Okay, so let me ask you this. With the way our culture is going, it's hurting comedy because it's mm-hmm. there's certain things. I can't make fun of this anymore, can't make fun of that anymore. Yeah. Have you guys felt any of that in your comedy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't get me started on that. Like, I mean, the church created cancel culture, right? I mean, you go way back, we were canceling people before anybody was, right? Now we're all hacked off because we're like, what are you? You can't cancel us. Right. This is our gig, you know? But yeah, there is. I mean, a part of a discussion we had last night after our show, the show we did last night was primarily teenagers. And there was just little bits in there that we went, oh, that doesn't work with them anymore because they don't see it as funny.
Give me an example.
Like Lazarus?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we do this bit on Lazarus, and my character at one point says, Jesus doesn't cry. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children, the red ones, the yellow ones, the black ones, the white ones, even that chunky kid who lives across the street from me. Like, right? Thank you. Okay. We're just quoting an old children's song, right?
If we do in front of adults, like if we did it tonight, there'll be laughter.
Yeah.
High school students, we've noticed it's,
everybody gets tense.
You'll
hear the
guttural.
Fat kid.
Yeah. Well, you said red ones, yellow ones, black ones, white ones.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not the fat shaming.
Nope.
It's the other one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned everybody in there, so why?
I think it's the way it's mentioned. I think that there's just this, there's such a tension of like, what we're doing in that moment is taking a children's song, red and yellow, black and white, we're kind of poking fun at that song, right?
Right.
You know, and then doing this bit. And I don't think that they can separate and go, oh, you're poking fun at a song.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're calling somebody a yellow one. Or a red one, or a white one, or a black one.
It sounds,
you know?
Sounds racist. Yeah,
and it's not in any way, you know. But that's So I think there's that.
We had, for years, if you have some of our videos, we have dressed up as women. Like we've dressed up as women. We'll play a girl, you know, and do that kind of
thing.
And
it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. and we got our first one this past couple of weeks. They showed one of our Valentine's Day reminders, and it's Mitchie and Doreen, you know, and we're like this couple, and she's making sure that I, you know, but
Mitchie, you're not romantic at all.
Come on, I just don't care about Valentine's.
No, come on.
So I mean, it's funny. So funny. They're funny. So that one's out there in the world, and a church uses it. And if you don't know who we are, but you know, we make videos for churches. We want people to use our videos. So, but if you don't know who we are and you see this video in today's world, an adult could look at that and go, oh, they're promoting gender, they're dressing as women. So, you know, instead of going, no, those are the skit guys, you know, like Geraldine used to, you know, Flip Wilson, Geraldine, or, you know, Tyler Perry and Madea, you know. Yeah. So we're just living in a world to where we're just having to figure out some things to go, okay, what was funny now is being confrontational. So,
well, if you guys ever watched like the Dean Martin celebrity roast from yesteryear, that stuff would all be X-rated.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. Most
Most TV, most sitcoms in the 70s would be, you could not do today. I mean, from Good Times to the Jeffersons to, you know, Archie Bunker, All in the Family to on and on and on. Like, you could not do them because they're so, they tackle a lot of things that we're afraid to touch nowadays.
Yeah, and there's a balance, right? I mean, because we can go back and look at some of that stuff and go, oh, that probably never should have been said,
right?
But I think the pendulum swings, and it's swung so far to one side right now. You're going, okay, let's bring it back to the middle and relax a little, you know?
Well, and you know, on some of that stuff, you had Don Rickles is at the roast, and he's just going down the line, making fun of everybody, and they're just laughing. I mean, like people are taking it as a joke. They're not taking it personally.
Right.
Now everybody takes everything personally.
And he did it however he did it until he passed away. He kept on doing the same thing, and people weren't offended, you know? So it's really fascinating you know, what in today's world, what constitutes and what doesn't, and who can get away with it and who can't. So, yeah, it's very fascinating. You were talking about, you know, laughter breaks down walls for, you know, or laughter is good medicine. I can remember growing up in the home I did, I worked at a church later on, and I lived with a family, and I will never forget this moment. I'm probably 20, 21, living with this family, working at this church, and we've all had dinner inside in the living room, and I'm bringing my plate and my cup back to the kitchen, okay? And I'm kind of watching the TV, so I'm not really looking where I'm going, so I'm watching whatever we're watching, right? And I slam the glass into the wall, and it breaks. And in my household growing up, that would have been really, really bad. That would have been yelling and how could you, what did you do, da, 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 da. And I remember just freezing, and what I heard behind me from the family that I was living with and who I love and who loved on me, it was laughter. And I will never forget that moment of doing something that would have caused so much just dysfunction. And behind me, they were laughing, going, "What did you do? Are you okay? Oh, he broke." Like, it wasn't a big deal. And that was really beautiful because it was just blanketed with laughter. And that changed me. That was like, okay, maybe I'm going to be okay in this world, you know? But it was because they laughed. It was amazing medicine that day.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I think the world needs more laughter right now because so many of us are just waiting to be offended, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if we could relax and laugh some more, might ease some tension.
Right. Well, okay, so you guys have been friends a long time. Mm-hmm. So this is a comedy marriage.
Yep.
And a business marriage. Mm-hmm. And so just like in a marriage, you get times that you get frustrated with one another and maybe you're not on great terms, you got to work things out. But then you have a show to do. Mm-hmm. So you got to put on a smiley face and go out there and act like your best friends. And so how have you guys worked through that?
Yeah, I would say this, the number of times we've stepped on the stage and have something unresolved, if there is one time, I can't think of it.
Okay. That's good.
One of the things, you know, Eddie's very kind to talk about me helping, you know, bring joy and laughter and all that. He has been the part of our relationship that has really helped me to open up, to talk about things. You know, we talk about, you know, and shameless plug, we have a book, Smells Like Bacon, and in it there's a chapter, what's in it? Is it entitled Tunnel of Chaos?
Yeah, Tunnel of Chaos.
Yeah, we have a deal called the Tunnel of Chaos, and if you will, everybody wants to get, you know, ride the Tunnel of Love. But there's also a ride called the Tunnel of Chaos. And if the Tunnel of Love is this beautiful swan and it's beautiful music, and the Tunnel of Chaos is a goose that, like, the seats have splinters in them, you know. But you've got to ride through the Tunnel of Chaos to get to the Tunnel of Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's times that we would literally look at each other and go, or call each other and go, "Hey, I got to go through the Tunnel of Chaos with you real quick."
Yeah.
You know, and you know right away, this is not going to be a fun discussion.
Right.
But you know the goal is to get to the Tunnel of Love. You both have the same goal, you know? And so really it's just, it's dealing with things head on and talking about them.
Yeah.
And then it requires a lot of forgiveness, a lot of benefit of the doubt, you know? I mean, if you're friends with somebody for, I mean, we're...
1987?
Yeah, since 85, mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, high school
kid. Yeah, yeah, you know, if you've been friends that long, you cannot take something that happens in this moment and cause it to negate everything that's happened over the years. And so there's that benefit of the doubt that comes into play.
Yeah.
How much of that, when you guys do get on each other's nerves, how much of that is just... Your personalities are different. I mean, if you were the same guy, you wouldn't do well together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just like a marriage. You got to have differences. And so in your comedy sketches, are you more the straight guy and Tommy more the funny guy, or how does that work?
You know, I would say yes, and and a lot of that has been just a fear. Like, it really is that I think I'm more of a director writer, so he's naturally more funnier than I am. So it's a relinquishing, you know. So yes, on stage, if you were to watch one of our live shows, I'm serving it up, and that's been decades of this is easier. This is easiest, and we're getting laughs, and this
it's working.
Like this, the sides that we're on, they like it. So when you're figuring out your bread and butter and you're figuring out, you know, the perception of who you all are, that's been huge. I do think in our videos and even like Family Camp the movie, those are places where I was like, I gotta try to be funny. I gotta try not to be this just the straight guy, because this will die. I can also look ahead and go, if I'm just the straight guy, everyone's gonna know where this is gonna go. We're not going to last another 10 years.
Right.
So
I'm here, predictable, rich and famous, and leave.
right. So there's that yin and yang, I think.
You become Andy Gibb. You'll go out on your own.
Yes. Leave. Yes. Oh,
what
yes.
a perfect illustration. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, Eddie really said it so well. But I mean, if you go see Family Camp, you realize that my character has a few funny moments, but I don't play a funny character at all. You know, Eddie's funny throughout the whole movie,
right?
You know, and that's where he shines. If you can put a costume on him, if you can change up something, facial hair, like there's something about him too that just relaxes inside and lets go. You know,
Again,
I think a lot of it too in a live show is you're thinking about the audience.
I'm
what
watching.
Are they thinking? What are they doing? And I'm like, I don't care if you're here. I'm going to do this anyway. You know.
Yeah. So out of the two of you, who gets energized more by people and who's a little more introverted?
I would say you get energized by people, don't you think?
Oh, that's such a tough question.
I'm an introvert.
Are you really?
Yeah. I took a comedy class in McKinney, Texas, like a year ago, right after COVID. And I mean, we were writing jokes.
McKinney's kind of the mecca of stand-up comedy.
It was a comedy club. It was a 6-week comedy club.
That's where they all go.
That's where they all go. But I realized from him, and he was a stand-up comedian. He traveled and he owned this club, you know. And so we'd meet on Tuesday nights and we write jokes. And you know, then you have to get up in front of the 15 people and tell your jokes. Mm. And so I thought, this will help me. And so I was really good at writing the jokes. And so I'm doing the jokes. And one night we had a subject and we were doing, he stops me and goes, hey, you're a great writer. You got really great jokes. I'm like, thank you. Thanks. You know, he goes, but you got to train us when to laugh. You're barreling through the jokes. Oh. And in my brain, I went, well, I've been doing that for decades out of fear. I've been doing that decades on stage, just barreling through, saying my lines getting to him. So it's been really good it's taught me just to slow down and teach the audience when to laugh, where to laugh, and all of that. So comedy is a beautiful science in many, many ways.
I was thinking while you were talking, and I think I would say I am energized by the crowd and drained by the individual.
Okay.
like that's depending. Yeah. Depending on who the individual is,
right.
You know, but I know if I go a couple of days and I'm home and I'm not really seeing anybody, like that's when I start getting depressed, you know, and this guy could, you know, he's got a week coming up.
I could grow this out. Yeah. Just be alone and not talk to anybody.
He is. He's got a week coming up where his family's gone and he is just jonesing for that
excited.
Week to get here.
I love my family, but I'm excited.
Just solitude.
I don't think I've ever been in my house by myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, when we were talking about Dennis Swanberg off the microphone, and Dennis during COVID, you know, he had all his events canceled.
Oh,
and
he
said he went into depression.
Yeah.
He gets energized by people.
Yeah.
That's very, I think that's true for both of us. When we go a period without doing a show, we kind of wonder why the sky is falling.
Yeah.
You know? And then the great thing about what we get to do is it really is friendship. The second I will be like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm packing my bag. I don't want to go. I get in the car and like that, I'll usually call or text him and be like, hey, I'm on my way. You know? And so it's the best of both worlds. Yeah. And by the way, like Dennis Swanberg, like
he's legend. He's
trailblazer. Like we get to do what we do because of him. Yep.
Guys like that.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
That's awesome. All right, the book is called Smells Like Bacon. Where can they pick up a copy?
Anywhere you buy books.
Yes.
Anywhere. And your website is?
Yes, skitguys.com.
Skitguys.com. Well, we're talking to Tommy Woodard and Eddie James. They're the Skit Guys. They've been at this a long, long time, and they've been making people laugh, but your humor has a message, and the message comes from Scripture, and so it's a great way. Humor is a great way to communicate truths.
Amen.
And so we learn a lot from that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're up against a break, but don't go away. We'll be right back.
Now that Iran's achieved nuclear status and is strengthening its alliances with Russia, China, and North Korea, its avowed Islamic hatred for Israel and the United States becomes even more of a threat. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join Dr. Gary Dahl, Pakistani Christian Nehemiah Paul, and Islamic expert Tom Wallace as they discuss Understanding Islam, Its History, and Its Vision, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Rick Scarborough. This is Come Home America.
Our nation is under assault by a cabal of liberalism in the media, education, and government. They're destroying the very foundations of Western civilization while many in the church sleep and most pastors refuse to speak out. They deny God's existence, and from that vacuum, they make up their own rules regarding the right and wrong, normalizing the abnormal and immoral, and even advocating for gender reassignment surgery for adolescents. We're living in an upside-down world as the foundations are being destroyed. What shall the righteous do? Well, the answer to that is we can repent and start voting for righteous candidates. And if there are no righteous candidates, be a righteous candidate. I am Rick Scarborough, and it's time for the church to come home. Go to our website, recoveramerica.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. So we aired the last two segments, an interview with the Skit Guys, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James, and we did that on Sunday night. They were here at First Baptist Texarkana on Sunday night for an event, and we had a huge crowd. The whole bottom was filled, and probably 1,300 people here or so, and such a great crowd. We had a great time, and so Eddie and Tommy were gracious enough to tape those first two segments as we just talked about life and talked about their comedy together. And so now I am live, and so good Friday morning to you. And we're going to open up the phone lines. I was thinking about some of the things that they were saying, and one thing in particular, you know, they've been best friends since high school, and they've been doing comedy together for decades. And we talked about, hey, how do you deal with getting on each other's nerves, because their relationship is a comedy marriage, and they spend a lot of time together. And you know, so just like in any situation, you're going to have times where the other person gets on your nerves and there are going to be some issues and some difficulties. I loved what Tommy said. He said, you got to go through the tunnel of chaos to get to the tunnel of love. And both of them want to live in the tunnel of love and have a great relationship with each other, so that spills over into their work, and the crowd can tell, hey, these guys really love each other. And so I was thinking about that. He said, you got to deal with things head on. You got to seek forgiveness, grant forgiveness, and give each other the benefit of the doubt. I love that. Don't let one situation destroy years and decades of friendship because you get bent out of shape about something. For some reason this morning, I was spending some time looking at the relationship between Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan. You know, those guys, basketball players, Michael's the greatest basketball player, in my opinion, who has ever lived, and Charles not too far behind, but they were best buddies. And then all of a sudden, about 10 years ago, Charles said something on the air about Michael as being general manager of a NBA team, and he said, unless you get, unless Michael starts getting some people that aren't just his buddies who are going to tell him what he wants to hear, he needs to have some people on there that tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear. And Michael got very offended at that and called up Charles, and Charles said they had a very unpleasant conversation, and they haven't spoken in 10 years. And they've been in, interactions with where the NBA players get together and they see each other. They won't even speak to each other. Charles said, I've seen him 5 different times. We don't ever speak. And somebody said, you think you're ever going to get together, and bury the hatchet? And he said, I don't know. We're both very stubborn and they're obviously both very prideful. And I thought, how sad. And, you have two guys that are like brothers, and all of a sudden, that relationship is over. You know, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do when we have difficulty with someone. Matthew 18 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Hey, we're supposed to go to the brother that hurts us, that sins, that does something that hurts our feelings. We have to do that in marriage. We have to do that in friendships. We have to do that, according to the Word of God, in the church, so that we hold each other accountable, so that we can live in the tunnel of love. And in any relationship, there is a time where you have to go through the tunnel of chaos to get to the tunnel of love. You can't just bury things and sweep them under the rug, throw a sheet over them, all this will just go away. No, hurt feelings. Hurt always turns into anger, and anger, when the sun goes down on your anger day after day after day, that turns into resentment and bitterness, and that can destroy a marriage, that can destroy a friendship. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to take your calls regarding anything that Tommy and Eddie said, regarding the need to go through the tunnel of chaos to get to the tunnel of love. And we have Bobby on the line from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. My question is pretty deep, and I think it's going to be a good one. C.S. Lewis wrote about imagination, and I want to know how you keep the little voices out of your head and solely centered on the Holy Spirit when you write and when you're talking to yourself. Are you sure it's yourself, or is it the Holy Spirit, or is it another spirit? How do you guys are able to use your imagination to write out these things?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bobby. Now, they're not here, so we taped that with them Sunday night when they were here in Texarkana. So they're not in the studio with me this morning. I would say, in answer to that question, obviously can't answer for them, but the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10, that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so when thoughts come into our minds, is this thought coming from me? Is it coming from God? Is it coming from the enemy who wants to deceive me? You got to match it up with the Word of God. So as one friend of mine said years ago in a sermon I've never forgotten, and he said, you put a guard at the door of your mind, and every thought that wants to come in, that guard says, halt, who goes there? And if that thought doesn't match up with the Word of God, doesn't match up with the truth, then you don't let it in. So I think it was Martin Luther who said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. And so we have thoughts that bombard all the time, but it's what are we going to let in? What are we going to dwell upon? You know, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. And so we get tempted with things, tempted to lust, tempted to be greedy, tempted to be selfish, tempted to be jealous, all these things. Temptation's not a sin, but if we allow those thoughts to build a nest in our hair, so to speak, and to really take root in our minds, that's where the sin is. And so I think that is the way to make sure that your mind is staying pure. Every single thought, you put the guard there. It says, if this doesn't match up with the Word of God, you're not coming in. And Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And so that's how I would answer that question, Bobby. But appreciate you calling in, and I hope that you are blessed by the interview with the Skit Guys. We have Deb from Oklahoma on the line. Deb, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to ask the Skit Guys if, and I live in Edmond, Oklahoma, so if I know that they're thinking of having putting together a new movie, and if there is any opportunity to serve as extras on this, I know I would love to do it, as well as many friends that I have. So I just wanted to make a general inquiry on that.
Yeah. That would be really cool. Like I said, they're not here right now, and so we taped that on Sunday afternoon that we played just a little bit ago. I would encourage you to do this, Deb. I would go to the skitguys.com, go to their website where you can leave a comment or ask a question, or they have a contact us button on their website, and just ask about that. They didn't say when they were going to start filming. They said that the script was being kind of punched up and looked over again. But I'm thinking maybe this summer they're going to start filming. I don't know. He didn't say. But it sounds like it's going to be a great movie. And he said it's going to be it's the dutiful son going after the prodigal son. That's how they're going to have time together. And he said it's kind of going to be like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, in that they're trying to get back to the father's house, and so they have all the antics that go with travel across the country and that kind of thing. So that would be my encouragement to you. Go on their website and see, because that might be something that could work out.
Well, we saw the last movie, and it was great. And we had such a sense of pride that it was filmed here in Oklahoma. So I just thought I'd take a minute and give you a call. But I will do exactly what you just recommended. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Deb. God bless you. So the Tunnel of Chaos. Nobody likes the Tunnel of Chaos. That's when you have to have that tough conversation with your friend, with your spouse. But the Tunnel of Chaos, unless you go through that, you can't live in the Tunnel of Love, because when there is an issue, when there's a problem, it's not just going to go away. You have to deal with issues. You know, I found as a pastor, one of the hardest things to do is dealing with staff and dealing with church members, especially when people get upset. Or as a pastor, and any manager, any boss will let you know, hey, when people, you know, you're perceiving that they're not doing what they need to be doing, you can get mad at them and start stewing and getting bitter and resentful toward them, or you can sit down and talk to them and just say, hey, this is not working. What's going on? We need to fix this. And it works so much better. And I told my staff early on, said, listen, you don't need to have fear. If you want what God wants and I want what God wants, then we both want the same thing. And so just as Tommy said with his relationship with Eddie on the Skit Guys, hey, we both want to live in the Tunnel of Love. So if we both want that, then we realize, hey, sometimes we got to go through the tunnel of chaos to get to the tunnel of love, because we can't live in the tunnel of love if there's an issue between us that we're not willing to deal with. And those uncomfortable conversations are very important to have. And so you let the other person know, hey, you hurt my feelings when this happened, and I don't understand. Help me understand what is going on here. And the other person hopefully is not going to respond, you know, in a prideful way. How dare you confront me on this? But even if they do, those are issues and things that we have to be able to discuss. And as we go through that, we give the Lord the opportunity to work. Sometimes people get mad. I've had the experience where somebody's come up to me and complained about something, and I'm feeling attacked, and so I try to defend myself. That's not a good way to do it. It's better just to listen. Say, okay, let me think about what you just said. Let me take that to the Lord and say, Lord, if this is true, then show me. I still remember hearing something in a sermon that said, you know, if one person calls you a horse's rear end, then okay, you can kind of blow that off. If two people call you a horse's rear end, you need to really consider that. If three or more people call you a horse's rear end, buy a saddle, because you are coming across that way, obviously. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's hard for us to really see how we're coming across. Self-awareness is an important thing, and that's a good thing to pray for. God, help me to see. There's a phrase that my minister of music likes to, my worship pastor, he likes to use, hey, read the room. And you have to be able to sense, how am I coming across to people? And as we talked with the skit guys, you know, how do you do if you feel like the jokes aren't going over? You know, how does a preacher do if he senses I'm not connecting well, people aren't paying attention? You know, just plowing through your material, if nobody's paying attention, you don't get points for that. It's kind of like when you share the gospel. If the person is tuned out, you don't want to just keep cramming things down their throat. Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. If they're not listening, then just back up and say, okay, we need to go in a different direction. And, you know, maybe I didn't get through my whole presentation, but if they're not listening, it doesn't matter anyway. Probably better to just say, let's pray right now. I've had situations with preaching where there's a disruption, somebody's had a medical issue or something like that, and nobody's paying any more attention. So I just stop and say, listen, we have a brother or sister in need. Let's stop and pray right now for them and just focus on what's going on. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I appreciate you tuning in every morning. It's a blessing to be with you. And hey, we have the weekend before us, and I hope to welcome a new grandson into this world this weekend. My daughter's supposed to go in the hospital on Saturday to be induced. So if you think about it, pray for Amy and Chase Maverick Van Hoy, the second son for Amy and Travis, and our fourth grandchild. We're excited about it. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things God has done for you, and He will use you. I'll be back with you on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.